P.S. for all our cooking madness friends, I don't know if anybody saw, but it's Vegetable Week.
Is it?
Yeah, they're having like a farmer's market. And you can make beet juice and salads.
I'm kind of stuck at a moment. I have to go make a bunch of money, basically, so I could move on.
Oh, that is the freaking conflict of my life, Ryan. Happens all the time.
I don't even know what I can upgrade. Yeah, it's like one coin. It's like, what? What could I have done better to get that?
Well, the hot tip is you should just log in once a day because you'll get your free gift. And then sometimes they give you like, you know, 20 free coins. And if you watch a video, you can double it into 40 free coins.
I like I said, I bought it, so I don't need to.
Oh, sorry. I keep forgetting Mr. Richie Rich over here. Mr. 1%.
For $2. I mean, I guess you can still watch videos for bonuses, but.
Yeah. Watch a lot of videos. It's on like DCOM. It's on like
DCOM.
Hello, DCOM Anon. DCOM. What are the other names we have for our DCOM people? Decommunists.
Decommunists. What else do we got? Decommunon.
The coolest fans in the world. Hey, yeah. What's up? It's me, Madeline, as always. And with me is my bud.
It's me, a big ball of gas, Ryan. Here.
Yep. He's a big ball of purple gas.
Or what is it? Bags of gas. I think that was the line. Mm-hmm. Big bags of gas.
Yeah. We're, you know, when you really think about it, we're all just big bags of gas.
Yes. That should be the next, all you bags of gas out there. That's the other fan name.
I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
I don't know. That's something people on podcasts talk about. They're like, it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah. Link there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're back with after a little bit of a break, I would say.
Yeah, well, it got really wild out there in Sedona when I was hanging with my girl Hillary Duff charging up all our charge rocks.
Yeah, did you have the power out there or what? Did you?
Oh yeah, we had to find a very specific vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you hold up your crystals like into the vortex, and then what happens is the Lizzie McGuire theme song starts playing.
What is a Lizzie McGuire theme song?
Well, it goes, if you believe you've got a picture perfect plan. Take it, Ryan.
I don't remember that part. I don't know.
Damn it.
I don't know why. It's not sticking with me.
Sometimes we make it. I told Ryan we weren't going to sing, or I told Eric we weren't going to sing on this episode. And
it's always going to happen.
Yeah. My needles
that was
are
during
jumping.
The sound check. That was during the sound check. And so we had to make sure our singing doesn't peak.
Yep. Well, too late.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess this is not something I was going to bring up, but you already brought it back to Hillary. Mm-hmm. And you know how we were, I think we mentioned it, that they canceled the Lizzie McGuire reboot because I think she wanted Hillary Duff it to be more adult, I guess, you know? Does Lizzie fuck, basically, was like the question, and they didn't sound like Disney wanted to do that.
Boo! You know? That's all we care about.
Yeah, exactly. But so this is a show that was after my time, but there's a reboot of iCarly going on right now, and I know that's Nickelodeon, right? Was that Disney or Nickelodeon?
No, that was Nickelodeon. And the fact that you're saying reboot makes me feel so old because that was past my time, past our time, and now they're already rebooting it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And I think they're going for the thing that the Disney was scared of, basically.
Ooh.
Because I watched the trailer. I don't really know anything about iCarly. I remember like catching bits and pieces. I know I seen what it looks like. And they're like saying like damn on the show and like
what? On Nickelodeon?
Well, it's on Paramount Plus. That's the thing.
Oh, of course, Paramount Plus.
Yeah. So right. And I think like they're going for like a higher age audience, like the kids that are now in their 20s watching that show.
Yeah.
And we'll probably find out if iCarly fucks basically from that.
Well, you know? The viewers want to know. I feel like our line of shirts should just be like, does insert Disney character here fuck?
Since it's been a while since we talked, I was going to ask if you ever continued the circle or finished the circle.
Okay, here's what happened. I did not yet watch the last episode. Because I was getting feels, because it'll be a whole year before I can watch another season of The Circle, and I'm not ready, and I'm too attached to the characters who are real people.
Yeah, yeah. So where'd you leave off? Like, who's left? And
So I left off where there's the Kardashian group is starting to falter a little bit because the tall buff guy is trying to like fuck up their whole alliance.
Mm.
And it would be really helpful if I knew anybody's names.
Yeah, I can't remember their names really either, but
the only name I know is Courtney and River, who is not, that's not his name.
Lee is his Lee. Name. I remember that.
Yes.
I happen to have that name too, so it's easy to remember.
Yeah, so I'm very much on team Lee and Courtney. I would really like
Chloe
to see
too.
One of them win.
Is it Chloe or Courtney that you're... Chloe's like the British...
Yeah, I'm talking about Courtney. I like Lee and Courtney.
Which one's Courtney?
Courtney is the really funny guy. He's the one... He was the Joker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And then...
I remember now, yeah.
Okay. And so I really like him, and I really like Lee. No spoilies. Please do not spoily.
Well, you should watch it.
I know. I need to. I should just do it this weekend. I'm not emotionally ready.
I know. It's short and sweet. I mean, it's like, it's a bummer when it's over, but I started watching the Brazilian Circle.
Oh, shit. Is it good?
It's basically the same, but it's just, it's tough because it's, you know... you know, it is subtitles and there's a lot of words flying at you, you know, and it makes me want to read the screens of the circle screens, but I can't anyway. But like that plus the subtitles are just a lot of going on, you know, with
it. That's hard.
So it's a little bit more, you have to pay attention a lot more, I guess, to the show compared to, but it's good. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So. I couldn't. So you're saying I can't play Cooking Madness and watch that show at the same time.
I mean, you could probably, you know. You can probably guess what's going on, you know, with it. But Portuguese is such a wild language. It sounds like so many different things. It sounds like Japanese at points. It sounds like Spanish at some points. And it's so wild. So,
man. So is it a recommend? Would you recommend?
I think maybe check out a little bit just to see if like maybe the first group of people catches your eye. You know,
and they have other countries too, right?
I think there's also, I could be wrong, but a French one as well, maybe.
I think so.
But I want to watch the original, the UK, and that one's not on Netflix, but it's on those sites like, those other like YouTube-y sites that are kind of like off the grid, like Daily Motion or something like that, or
yeah. Well, I didn't even know that it wasn't originally on Netflix. Like, this is news to me that there is a UK version first. Of course.
Yeah.
We're not fucking smart enough to think of anything.
And I looked into it and like there's a lot more episodes with that. And also what they would do is it would play and basically it got to the point where like people could vote. Like it was like, so it wasn't like pre-recorded too long, you know, it was maybe within a week it was recorded. Whoa. So like the audience can like vote on things and stuff as it's happening. It's more like Big Brother kind of style.
Ooh, that's fun. I would want to do that.
So, I'm going to try to maybe catch that because that they have like a celebrity circle on the British one, but it's probably a bunch of
people
British
we don't
celebrities
know.
We don't know, but
is it the Queen?
Yeah, the Queen's on it.
And Protozoa.
I guess the biggest thing I wanted to admit, see, so how what did you feel like when the lady that was pretending to be Lance Bass and that other really tall guy got together.
I fucking loved it.
Wasn't that the best? That was like the best TV ever.
It's so good. And it's watching them strategize together is the funniest thing ever.
They have so much fun with the camera stuff, like having them stand next to each other and he's like double her size.
Yeah.
He's like, did you see like how they had his head cropped off? Did you get that? It was so funny.
So funny. I love every single thing about the show. I just feel like there are so many reality TV shows that are just the same thing over and over. Like, okay, even The Bachelor, you know, I stand The Bachelor, but it's the same shit over and over and over. And with The Circle, they're always adding in new games, new twists, new sets. It's so fun. I just love it.
They really screwed over that dude with that that makeup challenge.
The makeup challenge. I was when he was on the floor with the pillows on his face, just dying of embarrassment. I was laughing so hard.
He probably went away a lot farther. You know, they really like that was like the first time where everyone's like, "Oh, like that's not a real lady."
Yeah, so. For our viewers who don't watch The Circle, which if you don't get it right, there was a character who was catfishing as a woman, but was actually like a nerdy guy. And they had a makeup challenge and it was very clear he wasn't a girl from the way that he put the makeup on the little dummy.
Like it was like on a mannequin head.
Yeah. Kind of thing. It was so funny. It just gave him away immediately. It was great.
Yeah. It was like a bomb. It was almost like they wanted to do the whole thing of getting the two other catfishes together. To be another catfish. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was hilarious.
So good. It's just the best show on television.
Well, yeah, you'll have to finish it and we'll do another update.
Yeah, we'll do an update after the win. I just, like, last year had the perfect summation for me because the person that I wanted to win won. And now this year I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous. Who's going to win? I don't know why it matters so much, but it does.
Yeah, it's a good show. And I'm excited for more of it. And there's actually, I was just curious and looked it up and there's currently in the US, there's open casting for it.
Oh, shit.
And someone recommended they should think that me and my brother JoJo should go in as a pair.
Yes.
And then who do you think? So if we were doing it, would we catfish as somebody else or one of us?
I think you should catfish as Tom DeLonge.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing.
I thought it'd be just like a funny dynamic if it was like, I don't know, one of us, like it was JoJo or something.
Yeah. And you're both just doing it together. There. Now, yeah. I got to throw something in. What if you threw Denise into the mix?
I don't know. It'd be too close to the other one that had like the first season that had the Italian family kind of thing.
It'd be funny, though, because you'd just be like, no, Denise, don't write that.
She wouldn't even know what the hell's going on. But it's a good show.
It's the best show on television. I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times.
Did you happen to catch that picture of Bennifer macking out at the restaurant?
Yes. What are they doing?
It almost seems pretty, it almost seems like fake or something.
A publicity stunt? Yeah. All I keep reading is that Jennifer Garner's like, it is way too early for her to meet our kids. We are not on the same page. That's probably bullshit. I found it on some like random Instagram gossip site. But if it's true, damn.
Do you not think that Ben brought over Anna to meet the kids?
Oh, of course he did. Of course he did. He was like, kitties, look, I brought you a new mom. I'm going to go drink my coffee. You guys go play with her out in the mansion.
It's like a play date.
Yeah.
I mean, this is getting a little, you know, risque for the DCOM.
Uh-oh.
But speaking of Bennifer, there was a whole debacle going on about Batman on Twitter this week. Did you happen to catch any of that?
No, I don't know. What's going on with Batman? Fill me in.
Okay. So there was there's a Harley Quinn cartoon on HBO Max. I never seen it, but apparently it's supposed to be good. I don't know. But there was an interview with one of the writers or creators of that show. that basically said, I think they were asked if there's anything that they can't get into the show, because it's a pretty raunchy show, and if there's anything that they haven't been able to do. And this is what the quote is. It said, we had a moment where Batman was going down on Catwoman, series co-creator Justin Halpert says. And DC was like, you can't do that. You absolutely can't do that. They're like, heroes don't do that. So we said, are you saying heroes are just selfish lovers? And they were like, no, it's that we sell consumer toys for heroes. It's hard to sell a toy if Batman is also going down on someone. And so everyone, the debate was,
they sell sex toys?
I think they mean like toys, like kid action figures.
What does that have to do with going down on someone? I don't understand.
I don't know, but it was just a whole debate, like, does Batman do this? Well,
if he doesn't, then fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then what happened, our buddy Zack Snyder.
Oh, God. I got to get Zach into the conversation.
He posted a picture that he must have got commissioned of definitely that action of on a rooftop, basically. And he's like, canon. Yes, he does. Kind of.
Wow.
Thing.
My Thank Batman you, does. Zach. What a feminist. Feminist hero icon, Zack Snyder.
Should we get in some stepsister?
Yeah, I think we got to dive headfirst into a cinematic classic, which we viewed last night.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
I remember you from school. What's your name again? Corrigan, Vegan, Fagan?
Megan.
Oh, Megan. Hey, do you think I could have some of those chips?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, man, these rule. What are they?
Barbecue. I mean, sour cream and onion.
Windsurfing's cool, like, you know, because there's wind, right? And then also you're surfing. So you're like windsurfing.
I never thought of it that way.
Well, thanks for the chips, Megan. I'll see you on the water.
I like your hair.
Oh, thanks, please.
I know. But that's all ancient history now, Diary, because everything's changed.
So, Stepsister from Planet Weird. I can't remember. I've definitely seen it because the imagery of those fucking
bubble people
is sticks out to me real hard. And it's really weird. But I don't think I had ever probably watched it all the way through. Or if I did, I didn't remember it too well.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those ones where it's hard to speak on because I've seen it one bajillion times.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I love it, and it's my favorite thing.
It's pretty wild. It might be one of the most wild DCOMs I've ever seen.
It's so good, though.
Yeah, it's nuts. But it had its own set of rules, this movie, where it didn't. It almost had this thing where it felt like it was had a certain type of rhythm, and then it would do something totally different. Like, the movie kind of starts with it, you know, kind of a voiceover from this character's point of view, and then it switches to the other character's point of view. And it did that a couple times back and forth, and then it went away for a while. And then eventually it got to a point where they had, like, Family Guy-esque cutaways for, like, little moments where they show the Yukon empty. Or they show that guy falling down a mountain.
That part, like, was funny, right?
Yeah, I'm saying it was, but, like, they didn't do that earlier. So it's almost like this weird thing where they were just kind of like, let's just do whatever, like, not even try to make sense of anything or have, like, a certain style with this movie.
That's a DCOM style. You just throw everything against a wall. You see what sticks. Yeah, to me, it feels very unique in that the script feels very clever. And maybe even too clever for kids to understand a lot of the jokes. But then when you kind of get older and you know all the vocabulary words, you're just like, oh, this is funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's pretty weird. It's like this weird, like, Lynchian movie or something compared to other DCOMs, I would say.
Yeah. It has its own thing for sure. It's so unique.
Yeah. So, like, it's like the basic idea, if you haven't seen it, pretty simple, but it's told in a very non-linear, weird way. But it's basically, you know, we have a broken family, of course. There's always something to happen with divorce or something. And the mom meets somebody new who has a daughter, and they happen to be aliens that are actually gassish balls with faces on them, and they're very frightening. And they get into hijinks where they want to split the parents apart, but they need to get them back together. And
yeah,
that's kind of the gist of this movie.
Yeah, because so. they start out hating each other, the two sisters. So there's Megan, who's the classic California windsurfer girl. And then there's Ariel, who's actually Ariel, who's also whose name is actually Sawiza on her planet. And one of my, because I think we can get a little bit into the plot. One of my favorite things about the movie is that you see Courtney Draper's character Megan struggling to fit in at her high school. Like, she pretends that she's Jules' cousin, and then everyone finds out she's not Jules' cousin. And then
she's kind of an asshole.
Yeah,
a little bit.
She's a little bit of an asshole. She's a little bit of like a prankster, kind of like has an evil streak to her, but I love it.
She's kind of like, yeah, she's. Yeah, she's just sort of an asshole to a lot of people, it seems like. And it's like, why? And very self-centered in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
I think. And that's the idea, I guess, for her to grow. But
she's sarcastic.
She's always like wanting to go to the popular table. And we have our kind of like almost a cameo from, what's her name from Xenon? What was her name in Xenon? She was the.
Oh, Margie.
Margie's back.
That's right. Yeah. Margie's back playing the same exact character.
Same exact character. She's a little nicer, I think, on this, but she's a little bit more like the popular character. But she doesn't seem like she's like all out evil like Margie was.
Yeah, she's the main lead popular girl. And she definitely, you know, she sees that Megan is not as cool as she presented herself to be. But then when Ariel comes in, she like wears all these layers of clothing to quote unquote protect her essence. Because that's
scared of the wind.
Yeah. She fears the wind. She sings all these like weird songs in class and everyone's just obsessed with her. And she becomes popular.
That's my favorite part.
Me too. It's so fun.
She kind of changes the school within like a day, basically.
Yeah. And it did Mean Girls before Mean Girls, if you kind of notice.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little bit of the Mean Girls table thing with, what were their names in Mean Girls? The
Plastics.
The Plastics, yeah.
Well,
kind of does that a little bit.
And it does the thing where Ariel does something, so she wears layers, and then the next day everybody else is wearing layers.
Like similar colors, and they're all just like, oh, she's so weird, but cool. And,
yeah.
And then that's what's annoying about our Courtney is she's kind of like, can't they realize that she's weird and not cool? Like, it's like she doesn't realize that she's cool because she's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my favorite part, too. And part of it, too, is how Ariel, she always uses big words because I guess on their planet, that's what they do. She's always saying like vacuous, horrid. And then all the girls start just saying those words and don't know what they mean. It's really funny.
Yeah, that's the weird part to me is like, I guess I needed something, but I kind of think it's kind of funny and it's probably more true that like maybe an alien life form would be just like a gaseous blob. But for them to have human faces doesn't make any sense.
It's so creepy.
Yeah. And even on like when there's this weird sequence, the CGI sequence where they're like on their planet floating around and it's just weird to have human faces on bubbles, basically.
Yeah, and that's literally what it is just picture a bubble as a human face floating around, and that's what it is. There's a part where I know this is like cutting later, but it's just a really good joke when Ariel says that she liked her boyfriend Fanuel. She found him more appealing as a bag of gas.
Oh yeah,
than
that's
with
such a good
his
line.
Human skin.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
She talks about bags of gas and just the human skin and all that stuff. There's so many lines of how much she loves, you know, she's a gas cloud, basically.
Yeah.
What was it? I like bubbles and I like gas and I'm calmed by water, is what she says.
Yeah. She's rad. Very like crystal energy to her. I think her and Hilary Duff would get along well in Sedona.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's great. She's awesome. And for a while, Courtney is such like, just come on, get with the picture. She's just such an asshole.
Yeah. Sort of well, that's what happens when you have daddy issues.
True.
Because she has a dad who's the creep of the week. P.S. And he's always on his cell phone. He divorces the mom because I assume he neglects her. And he's creep.
You think that he's the creep of the week? You don't think Cutter is the creep of the week?
No, I love Cutter. You can't say that. Cutter's so funny.
Yeah, he is good. He is good.
Yeah.
He comes off a little creepy at first, where it basically says two sentences to this person and says, "Want to be my boyfriend?"
Yeah.
Like, well, it's a little much.
It is. It is much, but he's also just like so dumb and so funny, and he loves potato chips.
18 different types of potato chips.
Fully 18 different flavors of potato chips.
Yeah, what name is Cutter? What is that?
90s name.
Well, it came out in 2000, and that's what something I wanted to bring up, is that it definitely feels like it's a post-Clueless script a little bit to me, where it feels a few years late, you know, just so far as like the way everyone's talking to each other and the popular kind of thing. And I guess it happened in... It's probably that whole period from Clueless to Mean Girls kind of ended it. Like, that was the era of this type of kind of dialogue.
Yeah, like smart talking teens who talk smarter than any teen has a right to. That type of vibe. Like,
yeah, that vibe. It's kind of, that was sort of the era. What year was Mean Girls? Was like 2003 or 4 probably around then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say that.
So this is right before that. But yeah, It was cool. It's a weird movie. It's so strange. We have Cos, the dad, Cosmo.
Okay, what do you think about Cos? Is he a creep? Because he creeps a little, but then I feel like there's this endearing thing about him, and at the end, I kind of like him.
I think that's probably what you're seeing about the damn, why the mom likes him.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because there's a moment like toward when he's playing with the younger brother. And that's when like the evil emperor shows up, which is kind of a weird thing late in the game, but he kind of like protects him and takes him, has him get away and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, there's something about him, but he is weird.
He also he acts like a large child. And at the beginning of the movie, I'm like, what is wrong with her mom? Does she have like some kind of brain damage because this is weird. She's basically just with a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
He dresses like a clown. He makes jokes that aren't funny.
Their house is like Pee-wee's Playhouse, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their house is Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah. It was, yeah, he's strange, but I could see it's as it goes on. Cause that's what I think I messaged you, last night while watching it. Cause I was feeling a little toasty with, a few more, too many drinks, and I was trying to eat. And I was having a hard time. And then when they were eating like hot dogs and he was having like root beer and cereal, it made me want to puke.
Yeah.
Like, that was putting me over there. I think that's why I like had to stop watching it, because I was like getting dizzy watching it. But that part is kind of gross. But yeah, I think he grows on you. And that's probably what happened. It's just so fast with the mom. And maybe this is the thing. She wanted the opposite of the stiff that she was married to originally, you know?
Yeah, but can you not settle for a happy medium?
Yeah, I don't know. She's in a weird. She was in a midlife crisis, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that though he is very weird, he kind of looks to me like a poor man's Aragorn.
Aragorn?
You know, from Lord of the Rings. A little bit of a Viggo Mortensen look to him, maybe?
I don't know about that, but
like,
he kind of looks like a poor man's Michael Richards Kramer to me a little bit.
No, he doesn't look like Kramer. He's got the piercing.
I mean, maybe it's the name Cosmo that's
you know,
hitting me
if
with
you
that.
Mixed,
Cosmo Kramer.
If you mix together Kramer and Viggo Mortensen.
Okay.
That might be who he is.
What did you think about movies kind of centered around Courtney Redding and her diary and her voiceover? And then it would switch to Ariel and her kind of inner monologue, kind of telling the same story sort of thing.
Yeah. They'd rewind it, Tarantino it up.
Yeah. They kind of did that twice. And I wish they did it a third time. They kind of like drop it after that. Like,
yeah, I think it's because you get
they kind of come together, I guess.
Exactly. So you get the one perspective like, oh, this sucks so much for me. And then you get it on the other side like, oh, it sucks for her, too. And then they come together. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting style to do the Dear Diary, because it's literally that. It is kind of fun, though, because Megan has her traditional diary that a human would write in, and then Ariel's doing this, like, alien writing
ghost
with her hands.
Thing,
yeah, where, like, letters are appearing. It reminded me of the aliens in Arrival a little bit.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. It's, like, weird symbols and such that they're kind of drawing in the air.
Yeah, and they're, like, using the palms of their hands to...
Oh,
or
wow,
tentacles.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
You know, in that
maybe
case.
This movie's very scientifically accurate with what aliens might look like or do.
100%.
Or like advanced species. Wow. Pretty, but yeah, so they, at the end, they kind of, they end up staying, I guess, right? On Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like this whole thing where they're getting married. And like the emperor of their planet shows up to like kill them, I guess, because they're, or freeze them because they were, escaping political persecution. Is that what they say?
Yes.
Or something?
Because you see, on the planet Zirkulon, where they come from, there's no free choice there. So it's a, you know, it's a very, it's a dictatorship, essentially. Mm-hmm. And where are we going with this? Yes, it's a dictatorship made of bubbles.
So weird.
It's so good, though.
I'm just surprised they got it made. It's so strange.
Oh, here's what I wanted to talk about. So when they're fleeing the political persecution, the mom pops. Ariel's mom bubble just pops. That's fucked up. It's like if you like had a character who just got like blown up by a machine gun, basically.
Yeah.
And we just treat it like she's a bubble popping. It's like, no, that's a sentient being who just got popped.
How did she get popped? I forgot.
She just popped. She spontaneously popped. It was when she was trying to flee to Earth. Somehow she floated up into the ether and popped. It's fucked up.
It's so strange. Just those damn bubbles with those faces on it. Like, it's so scary when you see Cosmo in the sink and his face on the bubble looks so weird, you know?
Yeah, and here's my question. Is he basically like taking a bath and she's in there with him? Because that's what it feels like to me.
A little bit, yeah, I guess.
Weird vibes.
They're kind of like recharging in the sink, basically.
Yeah, and so what happens is they need to feel one with their bubble selves, so they'll like go into a sink and just turn into a bubble in there. And there's a part where Megan finally realizes that Ariel is an alien because she sees her in the bubble form, and they both are like screaming at each other because they see one another, and they're both like, ah!
Maybe it's like going to the bathroom kind of thing.
Well, you still shouldn't be going to the bathroom with your daughter.
I know, that's what I'm just saying. It's kind of weird. Like, he's on the toilet, basically, while they're both talking to each other.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that scene. That's why Cosmo might be,
you know, you don't know what it's like, and it might be fine. It might be no big deal on their planet.
Yeah, maybe, you know? Bubbles, like, aren't naked. They're just, they don't wear clothes. There's bubbles.
Oh, it's so strange. Those fucking bubble heads. It's a nightmare. Maybe that's why it's so much trouble getting to sleep. Just all these bubbles.
Probably.
And what I kind of like too is Courtney's little brother is like knows they're aliens basically from the start. Did you hear this thing?
The cat. I can definitely hear brother wanting to be seen and given attention to.
Yeah. So he's like, he's the little brother the whole time is basically like knows they're aliens, but just because he's just like, oh, are they good aliens or bad aliens? You know, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah, and then there's a point where Megan lies to him and says, oh, they're bad aliens. Because there's this scene where they basically do a reverse parent trap where Megan and Ariel combine forces to get Megan's mom and Megan's dad. She's trying to put them back together. And then she's trying to hook up Cosmo, her dad, with their neighbor, Serena Sue, who's like a super weirdo who says everyone has a past life and is telling a dog he used to be Napoleon.
She's like sort of this woo-woo therapist or something.
What'd you think of
her? Fortune teller. She's something else.
She's fun.
You know? just kind of fun. And she gets frozen, and I kind of like the graphic of that frozen. Looks really funny to me. It's all like kind of square and weird.
Yeah, because when you get eternally frozen, you basically turn into like a block of ice, but it's like all these...
They kind of looked like Minecraft characters.
Yes.
Kind of frozen.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. She's kind of funny, and it ends up their Courtney's old dad ends up liking her, basically.
Yeah. So the woo-woo guy goes for the guy who's on the phone 24/7, and they like each yeah. other. And then that pisses Megan and Ariel off because they were trying to get their people with their exes and got all messed up.
I must have missed it, but there's a... When they're doing the parent trap thing to try to split their mom and dad up, and the mom is like reading poetry and all this stuff.
Oh, yes.
Like, what did she tell the mom to do? Like,
yes.
What did she, cause I get the whole thing, I guess, with like the guy wanting to be a man and he ends up being like a cowboy to like impress the mom, and it's not what she wants, you know, but I didn't understand what she told the mom to do.
So they did say that. They said, so basically part one of the plan is to tell Cosmo and Megan's mom things that the others don't like about them that aren't really true. So mm-hmm. Megan says to mom, her mom, that Cosmo said she was very simple and bubbly and like basically implying that she wasn't smart. So then she's like reading these really convoluted poems and trying to make like this fancy dinner to show that she is not just simple, you know, she's classy.
Okay, yeah, I didn't really understand like the connection, I guess, between what she was doing and what she said.
Yeah, she was trying to show she was smart and classy, basically.
Okay.
And then Cosmo's trying to prove that he's a manly man by wearing a cowboy outfit because Ariel said that she wanted him to be more manly.
Okay.
And he's like, "Hey, little lady."
Yeah, and he's like wanting steak at a pizza place and all this stuff.
Yeah, and then he brings a dummy with him because he loves dummies. That's like his favorite human thing. And he's like, "Am I a strong man, dummy?" And the dummy's like, "Yeah."
Yeah, they're just doing weird shit in this movie. Like, it's so strange. Like, everything is like the weirdest choice possible.
Do you think that this movie should win an Academy Award?
I think in the DCOM era, I think yes.
Yes. Like
if there was a DCOM Academy, that's something we should do. Maybe next year for the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put on our own. Let's remember that.
And we'll dress up in suits.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Let me see. Wiki. Step. I want to see who made this and who wrote it.
Is it anyone we know?
So the director, he's a guy, the same guy that did Johnny Tsunami and Motocrossed. And it looks like he's on a bunch of like TV since. But the writer is someone I recognize. It's Chris Matheson, who is the same guy that also wrote with Ed Solomon all the Bill and Ted movies.
And a Goofy movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that makes so much sense. Wow. Okay, so this is legit. Like, they got actual good writer to do this. And that's why this movie slaps so hard. And the Goofy movie is another just expertly written movie. That movie is hilarious. Have you seen a Goofy movie?
Oh, I've seen it. I haven't watched it in a long time.
So good. Just like as an adult or as a kid, it's great.
That should be one. When we go back through like theatrical release Disney movies, maybe we should do Goofy movie.
I would just be oozing with only good things to say about it the whole movie. No notes on Goofy.
No notes. Wow, that's a cool day. It had to be, because the movie has a different rhythm compared to any other DCOM that I've seen, at least. So I knew it had to have some sort of weird thing it came from.
I mean, that's kind of a big get to get the guys who wrote Bill and Ted in a Goofy movie. That's pretty impressive to me. Something I want to say about this movie is I think it is expertly casted from start to finish. Like, every single person is completely perfect in their role. I don't feel like there's anyone who brings the cast down. I think they're all really well suited for their parts.
Yeah, they were pretty great. Even though I think I was trying to think of what would make, cause I don't think Courtney Draper, Megan, is too likable for a while to me. She's kind of, I'm really more into what Ariel's doing.
Yeah, you and everybody else, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's the point, I suppose. But
yeah.
I was trying to think of, like, there's another way she could have played this to not seem so just, like, self-centered and an asshole. But
yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's fun that she has this evil streak to her where she's coming up with all these evil plans.
Yeah. Just tough to be the main person, and that's kind of like your... That's probably my only little nitpick about the whole thing, was just kind of her... I felt like could have been more likable somehow, but I'm not sure exactly how you would.
But she's Courtney Draper, Ryan. How can you not like Courtney Draper?
I mean, not get me wrong. You know, she's definitely up there. You know, she was two weeks ago. She was the nicey, but
yeah, Ariel's definitely got to be our nicey this week, don't you think?
She's cool and it's fun. I love that whole middle sequence at the school is so great.
Yeah. And it's fun too, because this whole time Megan believes that Ariel wants to be cool and wants everybody to like her, but actually she just wants to go home. And there's this part where she's in the bathroom just being her normal weird ass self, and she's looking at a bubble in the bathroom. She like created a bubble with soap, and the teacher comes in and asks something about the bubble, and he's like, "That bubble, as you so cavalierly called it, is the love of my life."
Yeah, there's like great little moments like that.
Yeah, it's so good.
We didn't talk about this, but there's like this big moment at the end, which is kind of funny and stupid, but it's great. Is like they try to kill pop the emperor bubble with like hair dryers. And they're like all like holding them like Ghostbuster things and shooting them at this like big bubble guy. And the brother comes in like Ripley from Aliens and is like, "Get away from her, you bitch," with a, you know, big old
leaf blower
to like take him out.
It's so good.
What'd you think of that? That was good.
10 out of 10. And he's like,
he had like a, what was the line that he said? Do you remember?
Trevor. He's like, "Try this on for size, gas bag."
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, and then the guy, like, he gets bigger and bigger, and he turns into, like, a big red bubble, and he's like, "Not the wind, not the wind." And then he pops. And then that made me think, you know how they're always fearing the wind? Like, if they go out and there's just, like, a tornado near them, would they just pop? Ariel and... I guess maybe you have to turn into your bubble form before you can pop. Yeah, maybe if
they stay in their gas bag.
Yeah, because he turned into his bubble form because he got mad. Right?
I think so.
That was the whole thing. He turned into it on purpose. And then they blew him away. What did you think about our Anakin Fanuel?
Oh, that guy?
Did you not think he looks exactly like Hayden Christensen?
A little bit young Hayden Christensen. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a nothing, in my opinion, a little bit.
But he's supposed to be. That's what's fun, is he's just like very scientific and clinical. Like, I like when they give him the Altoid and he's like, "Curiously strong."
Yeah. I feel like there could have been more with that element, like him coming in and the Emperor. Like, I feel like there's, I mean, it's a pretty short movie. It's less than 90 minutes. And I feel like it went on for, yeah, I do too. But if there was like another act, I think they could have got more into the background of this planet and these characters a little bit.
Like, I think so too.
I mean, not that I wanted it to be any longer. But I'm just saying, like, that's like the one thing that's like missing a little bit, because he's sort of just like that whole section is just in and out, really.
Well, and what's wild too is they literally kill/pop Fanuel's father, and he's just like, "All right, I'm gonna dance at the wedding now."
Yeah, and he's like, "I guess I'm the leader of the planet." He's like, "I'm gonna go home and make some changes, and I'll be back." But they never made a sequel of this, huh?
No, which is bullshit. Let's write it.
I'm wondering if maybe this one wasn't a huge hit and that's why it didn't happen. Because I feel like it's so open for them to take Courtney to the planet, you know, as a gas bubble and have a whole movie of just the gas bubbles.
Well, they weren't really doing very many sequels at this time. They were doing just like a lot of one and done Disney movies.
Well, there was like Xenon.
Yeah, I guess Xenon did. And remember when Fanuel's like, "I prefer Megan's brown head to Ariel's yellow head." Yellow, so they do a whole switcheroo on the boyfriends and girlfriends. Because originally Megan wants to be with Cutter, and Ariel is with Fanuel, her boyfriend, and then they do a little switch 'em up. They switch partners.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just dancing gleefully at the wedding after murdering his father.
Of course. Yeah. Pretty weird little thing, a little couple swap there, but you know,
Disney loves a couple swap.
They love it.
They want to keep the brunettes together and keep the blondes together.
Yeah. Didn't it happen in a Camp Cucamonga 2 or something?
Yes,
something.
There was a switch 'em up in Cucamonga. There was also a switch 'em up in Beach Movie for a little bit. There's a little switch 'em up. They love a switch 'em up.
Yeah, this movie's, it's on, I think, you know?
Oh, it is. It's on. It's shining a great big beam of light as a hope into the sky.
This is definitely hit. It's the DCOM Hall of Fame, in my opinion, because this is one I didn't think I rewatched that often. I think I maybe saw the trailer more than I saw the movie, because I remember the screaming bubbles in the bathroom so much. But and also that kid coming up with the leaf blower was stuck in my head. But but yeah, it's a good one. It's so it's a wild, weird movie. The name fits.
Yeah, it does. I would call it art.
Kind of like the name kind of has like a Goosebumps vibe a little bit. Mm-hmm. The title of it.
Yeah, the book probably has a Goosebumps vibe too, if I had to guess.
I'm glad this is a cool one. It's nice to revisit one of these that's you haven't seen, you know, it's over 20 years old now, this movie, and it's so good.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that I come back to and I'm like, this is just as good as the day I first saw it. Like that, I feel like that's that way. Brink, Xenon, there are a few of the classics. I would just say that if you don't like this movie, you're a piece of shit.
Oh, you're a bag of gas. Let me think some of
that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and not in a good way, in a bad way.
You know what's funny about these is that there's always these early DCOMs interesting references. Like there's a Sanford and Son reference when he's like, "Oh, Elizabeth," doing that whole thing.
I did not know what that was from.
Yeah, which is like an old 70s sitcom, you know, where like Red Fox was like would like pretend he's having a heart attack and he's like, "I'm coming, Elizabeth," kind of thing. Which is like the little kid is doing, which like I feel like at that time like I didn't even barely know that reference. And then there's also that Betty and Veronica, I guess the kids could watch or know Archie comics,
yeah,
I suppose.
But, you know, they look at their Sunday paper.
But these two could have played Betty and Veronica in an Archie show.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that.
No. But that's fun. It's a good little time. It's a weird one. It's gonna be hard to live up to the weirdness of this movie for sure.
Yeah. And I maybe we should take this time to announce that preemptively we are thinking about a High School Musical extravaganza.
Yeah, I mean, we have a 20th episode coming up. And last week I posted an old episode and it was kind of fun to kind of revisit. That was the one that felt like we get the least canceled for when I re-listened to a bunch of the
early episodes. There's
a
lot of cancelable content in some of those earlier ones. The thing is, it's all Ryan. Like, I've always been, you know, the picture of uncancelability.
Well, it was just kind of funny because I was like, listening back, I'm like, damn, I feel like if I watch High School Musical now, I would get a big kick out of it.
I know, we were like the Muppets guys.
Yeah.
The grumpy Statler Muppet and guys. Waldorf. Yeah. We hated it, basically.
Yeah. I'm like, what's happened? And in this 4 years, something must have happened since then, you know?
And when we were watching The Descendants, I was like, man, this isn't as good as High School Musical. And we freaking hated High School Musical.
So we might have to do a revisit of High School Musical.
We're like happier people now, I think. We were very bitter in our early 20s, mid-20s.
Even though half these episodes are us talking about how the world's going to end. But maybe we're content with it now, I suppose.
We've accepted our fate. It's coming. Just sit down on your porch. It's here. The end of the world.
Maybe we'll watch the sequel. There's talks of maybe watching the High School Musical, the musical, the series, or whatever it's called.
Because like we want to see that Olivia
Yeah, we want to dive into a whole Olivia Rodrigo episode, you know.
That album is so good.
It's great, yeah.
I assumed it was going to be trash just because it's one of those things where like, oh, it's so good. Everyone likes it. But I thought it was going to be trash. And then I listened to it and I was like, whoa, this Disney girl slays.
So we need to figure out, you know, get to know her more. You know?
Yeah.
Figure out what's the whole deal.
Because it's brutal out here.
He did it.
So good.
At the end of the episode with that song or something.
Yeah, you should play us out.
Good closing song. Play us out with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was fun. This is a fun one. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah. We were.
There's no more Courtney Draper, huh? That we can continue with.
No, that's the end of Courtney Draper, I think.
Yeah, other than the Jersey show, but I'm not going to watch that.
No, I can't watch something about sports. I didn't do it then, and I'm sure as hell not going to do it now.
Yeah, I don't know what she does now. Oh yeah, we talked about that. She does voice work now, basically.
Well, she's exclusively on Christie's Throwback Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Christie's Kitchen Throwback.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, cool. Well, this was fun. If you're on already, you know, follow us on the old Instas or Twitters.
Tell all your friends.
Tell all your friends on it's at like DCOM and you know, leave a review on iTunes, why don't you?
Yeah, go on Reddit and go to a subreddit that's applicable and tell everyone about us. Not that we need it.
Yeah. Should I see, since the last time I said leave a review, if anybody did before we go?
Well, oops. If no one did, then it's going to look sad.
I know, then I'll just cut this out, but...
If they didn't, I'll make up a review. I see one that says, Madeline's a visionary.
You do?
It says she's the new NPR guy. What's that guy's name? You know, the famous NPR guy. He's got a good voice.
Yeah, he kind of talks like this.
Yeah. They said, that's me, basically.
Ira Glass.
Oh, yeah. They said, I'm the new Ira Glass.
Terry Gross is what I'm thinking.
I never heard of Terry Gross. I'm more of an Ira Glass because everyone's heard of me.
Anyway, we'll catch you later, you big balls of gas out there.
Bye. This is NPR.
So insecure, I think that I'll die before I drink. And I'm so caught up in the news of who likes me and who hates you. And I'm so tired that I might quit my job, start a new life. And they'd all be so disappointed, cause who am I if not exploited? And I'm so sick of 17, where's my fucking teenage dream? If someone tells me one more time, enjoy your youth, I'm gonna cry. And I don't stick up for myself, I'm anxious and nothing can help. And I wish I'd done this before, and I wish people liked me more. All I did was try my best. Brutal out here.